lesson this morning comes from the Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter 11. We're looking at two different sections, verses 16 through 19 and verses 25 through 30. But to what will I compare this generation? It is like children sitting in the marketplace and calling to one another. We played the flute for you, and you did not dance. We wailed, and you did not mourn. For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say he has a demon. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, look, a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. Yet wisdom is vindicated by her deeds. At that time Jesus said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and the intelligent and have revealed them to infants. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father. And no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all you that are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. My friends, this is the word of God for all of the people of God. Thanks be to God. Now, before I preach, though, I need to make an introduction. There's a couple that's here today, and I just want to say a word of thanks to them. They were very instrumental in me being here today, not just at Duff Street, but as a preacher. And my preacher growing up is actually here today. It's the Reverend Clyde Beard. He's sitting right back there. And his wife, Alma Jean. So it's a very good pleasure to have them here today. I grew up singing the hymn, Tell Me the Stories of Jesus. Is that familiar to you? You know, tell me the stories of Jesus. I long to hear things I would ask him to tell me if he were here. Scenes by the wayside, tales of the sea, stories of Jesus, tell them to me. Well, we're finished for the day. So every time that I sang that hymn, I thought about children. I kind of thought it was a children's hymn, particularly for the third verse, where the hymn writer says, into the city I'd follow the children's band. And I could imagine the hymn writer, William Parker, just lining up with the rest of the kids, kind of marching along with them. Usually I've sung this as an adult around Palm Sunday, and you can see, you know, the kids having palms and kind of waving, everybody being pretty excited. Well, according to my research, though, I was not off the mark in thinking that this was a children's hymn. William Parker was an insurance agent, actually the head of an insurance company. And he was very involved in the Sunday school movement of the late 19th and early 20th centuries. He's actually a Sunday school teacher for children in Nottingham, England. And his children would often ask him, teacher, tell us another story. And so he wrote this hymn. Tell me the story of Jesus. Now, I think the reason I thought about this hymn was how the end of verse 25 goes. And let me read the entire verse to you. It says, at that time Jesus said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and intelligent and have revealed them to infants. That's the New Revised Standard Version. The Common English Bible says, because you've hidden these things from the wise and intelligent and have shown them to babes. That's why I thought about kids and tell me the stories of Jesus. What we know about God is revealed to us. And you can underline that word, revealed. It isn't so much something that we dig for. It isn't because of our own particular skills and knowledge that we learn about the Lord. It's because God reveals himself to us. Jesus says that the ones who should have gotten it in his day, the ones who should have gotten it didn't. The ones who were the wise, the ones who were intelligent, the ones who had seminary degrees should have gotten the revelation about Jesus, but they didn't. And the ones who actually did were childlike, were children, he says. Oh, that we might maintain a childlike faith as we mature in the things of God. Let me say first that people failed to perceive God's work and the ones through whom God is working. That's pretty much what verses 16 through 19 were all about. See, John the Baptist had sent messengers to Jesus. John had a particular expectation about Jesus as Messiah, as the Christ, the one who was to deliver everybody. And things weren't just working out very well. Jesus wasn't meeting his expectations. You ever have that happen to you? People aren't meeting your expectations? Yeah? Yeah? Or you're not meeting someone else's expectations? And it creates some confusion. And that's what was happening to John. And so John sent messengers to Jesus. Are you the one that we are expecting who is to come, or should we expect somebody else? And Jesus said, hey, look around. Look around. The sick are being healed. The lame are able to walk. The blind see, and the poor have good news spoken to them. Chew on that, Jesus was saying. So as they were leaving, though, Jesus started talking about John. And John was no ordinary prophet. John was the one who was sent before Jesus to prepare people for him. The problem was that he just didn't seem to be the kind of person they were expecting. Certainly, God wouldn't send a prophet who wore animal skins and who ate locust and wild honey to speak to us. But they got him all wrong, and they got Jesus all wrong. See, Jesus compares them to children who just can't agree on what to play. That's that little poem there in the middle of verse 17. Some wanted to play wedding, let's say. And so they all started playing their instruments, expecting the other kids to be all happy and be like they were at a wedding. And they were just like, nah. They said, okay, I guess you want to play funeral instead. Well, we can play funeral. So they all wailed and wailed and wailed. And the other kids just went, there's nothing to do around here. Like I said, John is usually pictured as a wild man from the desert. But the religious authorities thought he was a little bit too austere and even had the nerve to say that he was possessed by some kind of unclean spirit. Jesus was just the opposite. He came and he had a great time with people. He ate and he drank. He had a great time with people. But he was eating with the wrong people and he was drinking with the wrong people. And he was keeping the wrong company. Certainly, he couldn't be the one that God was going to be working through. But the joke was on the wise guys, because the results of John's and Jesus' work proved that they indeed were from God. Whereas this generation, as Jesus calls his audience, aren't the only ones who failed to perceive God's work. Think about these questions. Just put them in there and let them start running around in your own mind, okay? Why do we fail to perceive God's work in the world? Where do we see God's work? How does God work through us? Let me say a little bit more about that last question. How does God work through us? God indeed wants to work through each and every one of us, and God has gifted us. I think sometimes God might be calling us, and we may just not be listening very well, or we do hear it, and we're like kids that want to put our fingers in our ear, and we go, I don't hear you. But you can never be too young and never be too old to hear a call from God to be in service. I heard a story a couple weeks ago when I was at my home church. I finally had the opportunity to preach at my home church. It was my mom's 80th birthday, and as my mom can do, she kind of arranged things so I could be there. First thing I said to them was, "I'm sorry. I'm sorry for 30 years ago when I first started preaching, they had to listen to some, the man in the back row there had to listen to some of those messages as well." I said, "I'm sorry." But as part of that service, the pastor, my colleague Jonathan Nettles, shared a children's sermon in which he shared a story about how God called a child to be of service to people in Africa. See, he found out that many of the men and women in Africa didn't have any hats to wear. You know, they live in a very hot, arid place, bright sun out all the time. When you're out in the sun, you might like to have a hat on. They didn't have any hats. So this child, I'm sure he may not have said it this way, but heard God's call and started collecting hats and sent them off over to the children and youth and adults in Africa. No one's too old. I'm looking out here and I see some people with some gray hair. I've got a little bit myself too. You're not too old for God to call you to be in service. Nope, you'll never retire from serving the Lord. One of the visits I made at one of my appointments was to Lena Eaton. She couldn't really get out as much as she used to, but she said something pretty profoundly to me, and it stuck with me. And she said, "You know," she said, "I can't get out as much as I used to and do as I used to, but I can pray." And indeed, she could pray. And I think God sometimes listened to her prayers more than she listened to, than they listened to mine. Let me say second that God reveals Jesus and God's purposes to those open to receive it. Jesus rather spontaneously offered an extemporaneous prayer of thanksgiving to God. And that was verse 25 that I read earlier. Now, there's nothing wrong with being wise. There's nothing wrong with being intelligent. But pride is a possible pitfall to wisdom and intelligence. When it comes to the things of God, pride can block that revelation of God. Reception requires openness. And the prideful are closed and fail to receive it. Instead, it's to those who are infants, to those who are babes, to those who are childlike, that God reveals God's self. So think about these questions. Are we wise and intelligent? In danger of failing to perceive God's revelation? Or are we childlike and open? Let me say third that God is revealed through Jesus, and Jesus is revealed through God. That's what Jesus meant when he said, "And no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him." Jesus truly had a special relationship with God the Father. No one knew Jesus the way the Father did, and no one knows the Father the way Jesus did. The gospel records a couple dramatic instances where God revealed Jesus. One of the first one was at his baptism. John the Baptist is the one who baptized Jesus. And the Bible tells us that as he was coming up out of the water, that the heavens just opened up and there was a dove or the Spirit that came down like a dove and alighted on Jesus. And then there was a voice. "This is my Son, the Beloved, in whom I am well pleased." What a revelation that was. And then later on, there's a story about when Jesus took three of the apostles, Peter, James, and John. They went up on a mountain. The Gospel of Luke tells us that they went up there to pray. And the Bible tells us that as Jesus was praying, He was transformed before them. The fancy word was he was transfigured. In other words, the blinders were off. They got to see Jesus as he truly is. And then the story goes, there's a cloud that starts to come over them. And a lot of times, whenever you see in the Bible about a cloud, that's to let you know that God the Father is present. So there's this cloud that envelops the group, and then they hear a voice. Says the same thing at the baptism. This is my Son, in whom I am well pleased. Oh, and then he adds, listen to him. Listen to him. We've got to listen to Jesus. Hey, if you're going to call yourself a disciple of Jesus, your ears better be open to listening to him. You better have your eyes in that Bible reading the gospel lessons and the rest of the Bible as well, by the way, if you want to call yourself a disciple of Jesus. That's where we hear. Jesus also claimed a close relationship with the Father, so close that he once said, whoever has seen me has seen the Father. What can be safely said is if you want to know about God, all you got to do is look at Jesus. Jesus gives to us a perfect picture of God. So think about these questions. What does Jesus teach us about God? In what way are our assumptions about God misinformed? What kind of God does Jesus reveal? How does Jesus' revelation challenge our own theology? Let me say lastly that Jesus challenges us to admit our limitations, accept his authority, and follow him as disciples. Some of the most beloved words of Scripture are in the Scripture lesson that I read, verses 28 through 30. Come to me, all that are weary and heavy laden and carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in spirit, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Jesus was addressing those who were burdened, not so much by the law of Moses, but by all the mounds of interpretation that was put upon the understanding of the law, and it just made them feel weighed down. We've got to remember also at the time that the Romans were occupying their homeland and extorting money from them and just making life hard. And not just those two, but we all know this. Life can be hard. Whether you're in the first century or in the 21st century, life can be hard. It can be wearisome. We can feel burdened. And so that's when we need to listen to what Jesus says. Come to me, all you that are weary and carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Jesus promised rest. And that was more than just a good night's sleep, as important as that is. He offered to them and to us something eternal, the peace of God's kingdom. But listen, the path to peace comes with an expectation to carry the yoke of Christ upon us. When he's talking about the yoke, he's talking about his life and his teachings. Those who want to enjoy the rest that he offers must follow him as disciples. Think on these questions. What are our limitations? What kind of disciples are we? And what is our response to the yoke of Christ? You know, it would be a rhetorical question expecting a positive answer if I were to ask if anyone here is feeling weary and burdened. We come to worship each Sunday with some type of weight on our shoulders. Jesus offers rest. rest, strength for today, and eternal peace in the age to come. As I said, though, these promises and many others are offered to those willing to bear the yoke of Christ. What say you? Let us pray. Loving God, as we grow in the maturity of our faith, grant that we will always be childlike so that we might be open to receiving what you have for us. Empower us so that we can bear the yoke of Christ as he leads us into an age of eternal rest and peace. In his name we pray. Amen.